Was it 2 weeks ago we talked about the bottom line in relationship to Christianity? I want us to make a play on words today and talk not about the bottom line, but the top of the line. And I want to talk to you about the top of the line God that we have. You know what the bottom line is? Says, you tell me what it's going to cost me. But the top of the line means I want the very, very best there is. You know, you go in and they've got this electric blanket, but it doesn't really plug in. It's sort of that, the bottom of the line blanket. It's got a hot water bottle that comes along with the blanket, and you put that on your feet. That's not top of the line. And there's another one that's battery generated, and batteries only last about half the night. That's still close to the bottom of the line. And there's another that's got a hand crank generator that goes along with it, so your wife can keep you warm all night just by cranking that generator. And that's not what, you know what we mean when we talk about top of the line. I'm going to tell you something. Our God is a top of the line God. Now let me give you three evidences of that. I want you to think about the creation of the world as evidence that our God is the top of the line God. You stop and think about the world that God has put together, and you look out here, and how can you not look and see the heavens that declare the glory of God? How can you not look and look at a sunset and the beauties that are there? How can you not look and feel the warmth of the sun? How can you not look and you just go all the way through all of these without understanding that God didn't just halfway do it? Do you know how recent the telescope has been invented? You know, think of all of those years whenever men would look up and they'd try to count how many stars there were, and at one time one of the numbers was as low as 1,500, and then sort of a common number was about 3,000 or maybe a few more than 3,000. And until the telescope was invented, nobody knew what was out there. You ought to Google this. You ought to go to Discovery Channel or whatever there is where they have on that television about the massive beauty of outer space. And you know what? We haven't seen the end of it yet. We still don't have a telescope that looks far enough to see the magnitude of the universe. That is astounding in and of itself. You can't see all the way to the edge. It's just, you know, we just can't get out there. Why on earth would God make a world like that just for us? And the answer is because He's a top of the line God. There's a second evidence of the fact that He's the top of the line God. By the way, we just need to understand that God is infinite. When we talked about you cannot measure outer space out there, and you stop and you think about the fact that you cannot measure space, I got to thinking about the love of God and I got to thinking about the grace of God and every attribute of God, and I cannot think of any attribute of God that is not infinite. Infinite means it just goes on and on and on and on and on. God is an infinite God. And He's the top of the line God. If we just mentioned in relationship to all that God has done. I'm going to skip on down, if you would, back there to that part that has the creation in it. I skip on down to about number 8, I believe it is. Look at the creation of God. Look at the creation of God. And then look at the infinite nature of God and the top of the line God that we have when you think about His eternal plan. Don't look at your watch. Please don't do that. You know how that disturbs me. Okay? Just because I skipped somebody, I said, must be running out of time. Okay? Folks, what's up here is not what's down here on your watch. It's this matter of God, the infinite God that we serve. And you and I need to have an appreciation that His plan is infinite. His creation is infinite, and His plan for our salvation is infinite. Think about that. Think about how great our God is, and here is this God, and you cannot begin to measure this great plan that He has. That's an astounding attribute of that. Think about the God that we have, and He's the top of the line God. And this plan that He's worked out, that when sin enters in the world, He starts working out this plan. Can you not understand how amazingly wonderful God is, that you put every story of the Bible and just tie them all together, and every Old Testament story is a part of this plan? There's a line that begins in Genesis and goes all the way through the Bible and reaches all the way to Palm Beach Lakes here in the 21st century. And here is this plan, and we are a part of it, and we cannot even fathom how wonderful it is. He's a top-of-the-line God. You know, it's not an afterthought. And you think about the beauty of the church and how what the church means to us and what it means to be a part of the family of God and what it means to be blessed by God and how wonderful it is to be a part of that which God planned for all eternity. He's top of the line, folks. He's the God of all gods. And how we need to understand that. Then if you want to see evidence of Him being top of the line, look at this book right here. This is amazing. Look at this book right here. You understand? There's not a single situation that will ever, ever come in your life but what the principles about what you ought to do in that situation is found in this book. Isn't that amazing? God is so infinitely wise and so infinitely understanding of us that He has supplied us, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, with everything that pertains to life and to godliness. You and I need to understand that. This great plan that God has is an amazing plan, and it's for us. And here's this book that tells us all about it. You know, there's some nut that's going to come up with some false doctrine about 5 years from now, 20 years from now, something nobody's ever thought of, something that's just wrong and is evil. And are you aware of the fact the answer is already in this book? Are you aware of the fact that this book that answers religious questions that people have in our day, that we go to the book and say, well, now that cannot be right because look at what the Bible says. You need to understand the fact. You need to understand the fact that those answers were there 1,500 years before any man ever knew he needed the answers. And whatever answers, crazy things people are come back up in the next 1,000 years, the answer's already there. God is top of the line because He's given us top of the line book. Now, having understood that, let's talk about not just the attributes of God, how they are infinite, but think about the infinite gift that He's given us. The ultimate gift that He's given us. Two verses from 2 Corinthians say it all. Verse chapter 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor." And you stop and think about the glory of heaven and what Jesus gave up to come and live in a septic tank called earth compared to heaven. And when you get to the end of the next chapter, and sometimes those chapters divisions just get right in the middle and keep us from understanding the ultimate aspect of it. When you get to the end of the next chapter, topic has not changed. Whenever He says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." That's amazing. How much greater way, what more could God have done to show us how much He loves for us? How much He loves us. He didn't just love the world. He so loved the world that He didn't just give an angel, He didn't give an archangel that He might have created. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And our response ought to be to that, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the ultimate gift that He's given. Now, having established that, understand that this top of the line God has an expectation of us. If God has done all of these things for us, we love Him because first He loved us. And so we've looked at the first love that He had. And that's what we've been talking about. This infinite God and His ultimate, indescribable gift. I want to tell you this. If God has done all of that for us, certainly He has an expectation of us, does He not? In our Soldiers of Christ Sunday night service. And let me just put some brackets right here. Hope you'll be here tonight for Soldiers of Christ. We're going to take a 1 week's break. We're going to do questions and answers tonight. And I say that for the benefit of those who might be watching on the internet, that tonight if you want to send in questions to our questions and answers session on Sunday night, if you're one of the regular listeners of this program, then just have your computer there and text the question in. And if you've got a phone in your pocket and you tonight want to text in your question from sitting out here in the auditorium, you can do that tonight. Close. We have been talking about, this thing on Sunday night of Elisha. You remember the king by the name of Joash, and we didn't spend that long talking about it, but Joash's enemy was Syria to the north, Joash being a king of the northern kingdom. And he came to Elisha because Elisha was so on his sick bed, he was dying. And Elisha says, take your bow and your arrow. And the king took his bow and his arrow and shot at the instruction of Elisha, shot an arrow out through the window. And the statement was, that's the arrow of the Lord that's going to smite the Syrians. Now take these arrows and hit the ground. I wonder what you would have done had you been there and Elisha said, take these arrows and hit the ground. Wonder what you would have done. Well, likely what we would have done, we'd taken those arrows and we'd hit one time. You know what Joash did? He took those arrows and he hit the ground three times. And when he hit the ground three times, Elisha got so angry with him. The Bible says Elisha got angry with him. And Elisha said, why didn't you strike the ground five or six times? Because while you were not aware of it, the number of times that you strike the ground is how many times you'll be able to defeat the Syrians. And if you had been diligent in what you were doing and diligent in serving the Lord, if you'd given your all to serve the Lord and you'd taken those arrows and just kept hitting the ground and hit the ground, that's how many times you would have destroyed the Syrians. And all it would have taken would have been five or six times and you'd destroy the entire nations. What a lesson that is for us. The top of the line God says to His king, strike the ground. And the king doesn't just do it once or twice. He does it three times. And the prophet of God is angry with him because he didn't give his all. He didn't do what God said with everything that he had. You know the wise man Solomon? The wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Here's a motto. Young people, those who are not so young, those who want to be successful in life, those individuals who want to have the very best life there is, hear the wisest man that says, whatever, that's all inclusive. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. That's it. Most of our teens are away and on that trip to Frieda Hardeman. But young men, if you're going to play football, you play it with every bit that you've got. I don't care if you're 4'3" and the guy coming at you is 6'8". You know, hit him in the chins. You know, hit him in the knees. Do whatever you can, but hit him as hard as you can. Young people in school, when you get ready to do your homework, don't you just try to do the least that you can do. Do it with the very best that you've got. You will go to the workplace tomorrow and everybody is there not giving everything they've got. whatever your hand finds to do, child of God, because they're a top-of-the-line God and you're one of His children, you ought to be a top-of-the-line son of God. And when you get to the work tomorrow, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. That's the principle by which we live. How we need to understand that. It bothers me that some Christians say, well, how much do I have to come to church? How much do I have to give? How much do I have to read the Bible? You know what that means? How much doesn't really mean how much. It means how little. If our attitude of serving God is how much, we're really saying, what is the least amount I can get by with and still get into heaven? That may not always be true. But if our attitude and our relationship to serving God is an attitude of how much, we need to at least question ourselves to see if it means how little. I want to close today and by looking at several verses and present a challenge to every member of the church here at Palm Beach Lakes. We have a top-of-the-line God. And God has blessed this church far more than we could have ever dreamed in our lives, could have ever in our wildest imagination would have ever in dreamed that this church would ever be. Who would have ever thought? In 1923, when they met in the house for the very first time, that meeting of those people, that assembled that were there, who would have ever thought? And those of you who were down on Coniston Road, is that five of you? Raise your hand if you ever worship God on Coniston Road. Look at these old folks here. I'm telling you that. Who would have ever dreamed? Who would have ever thought in the wildest imagination? And on North Olive? And then to get closer to where more of us are on 36th Street? And then those of us who only know this church because we're in this building, who would have ever thought that the Lord would be using this church like it is? Top of the line, God demands top of the line service from those who are members here. Three areas. I challenge you, brother and sister in Christ, because of a top of the line God, that you make top of the line your devotion to greater spirituality. Can you imagine if every one of us individually said, not that I'm going to be a spiritual as so-and-so, because you may never be able to get to that level, but I'm going to be more spiritual than I've ever been. I'm really going to get serious about changing my spirituality. In a sermon last year, I talked about the fact that you could use your electronic devices to read the scriptures and everything. And I didn't know this, but two of our deacons just took that and they started using the electronic devices to listen to the New Testament. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you in your life. I'm talking about what you're doing in your life to increase your spirituality. Don't have the attitude, well, I think I'm probably spiritual enough. Top of the line God, you're a child of the top of the line God, and He wants top of the line service to you. But not with some club over your head, but because here's the greatest life there is, and that is greater spirituality. We looked at this passage last week when we talked about the very attributes of the Christian graces. 2 Peter chapter 1, when he talks about add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. But look at the emphasis in this. Look in verse 5 when he says, for this very reason, giving all diligence. Isn't that top-of-the-line kind of devotion? Isn't that the Lord looks down and He says, Dan, I want you to give everything that you can to be more spiritual. And I read these things and I think, man, I'm really weak here. I really need to work on this in my life. And the Lord says to Dan Jenkins, Dan Jenkins, you take every bit of the energy that you've got and you give diligence to it. But you don't just give diligence, you give all diligence. Look in verse 8 when he says, if these things are in you, but he doesn't stop there. If these things are in you and they abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, being even more diligent. Look at that. And here the top of the line God who made the world that's out there and who's got this eternal plan and who's given us this amazing book that looks to me as his child. And he loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son so that I could go to heaven. And he says, Dan, you give it all. Give it all of your diligence. You abound in these things. You give even more after you've given all. How much is even more after you've given all? However much it is. God says, child of God, be spiritually minded. And then I challenge you in the second place to be even more diligent, give top-of-the-line service in the worship that you give to God. Worship of God. Think of how easy it is to come into an auditorium and not be here. You know what I'm talking about? To sit here and not really be here the whole time that we are here. Scotty, thank you for the song selection this morning. Man, we are so proud of you. Here's a little brat that grew up in this church. And look how that thing has grown. Look at him. Scott, you and Linda have got to be so thankful. What a great song leader you've become. And what a great selection of songs. And the scripture reading that talked about this great God. And then the communion time that we've had together. Look at what worship is all about. And there's a man in the Bible called David, the man after God's own heart. You want to be God's man? Then let the words that we're about to look at, these seven verses that we are about to look at, let them be the words that are on your heart when it comes to this matter of worship. Psalms 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Look at Psalms 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Is that you? God ever helped you? David says when he thought about the help of God, he says, therefore, my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise Him. David saw a direct relationship between his participation in singing of God and what God had done for him. Look at Psalms 57, verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast, and I will sing and give praises. David was not one, had he lived in our day, would not have been one of those once a month kind of Christian that just came every now and then. He was that kind of individual whose devotion to God was steadfast and his praise to God is tied directly to his steadfastness. Psalms 86 verse 12, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart and I will glorify your name forevermore. I never have any intentions at all of not praising my God. Folks, think about it. Think about the fact that God would want to receive our praise. And the Lord says, David says, I'm going to do it forever. And that's right. If you don't enjoy praising God here on this earth, you'll be in hell in heaven. You'll be miserable there. And if we don't enjoy praising God, something is either wrong with our heart or our understanding of God. God accepts our words of praise. I'm going to give my all whenever I praise God. Psalm 108, Oh my God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Whatever I have, I bring it and I give it to you. With a heart that's filled with the melody, I open my mouth and I speak to my brethren and teach and admonish them. And I look up toward heaven and I talk about how wonderful God is. Psalms 111 verse 1, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, I will praise God. Psalms 138 verse 1, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you don't serve Allah? You think of the people who assemble and worship Allah, and we worship the living God who gave His only begotten Son. Allah never gave a son for anybody. Praise be to God. And unashamedly before the gods, I will sing praises. And finally, I praise you. I challenge you not only to serve God in your devotion to spirituality, in your worship of Him, but I challenge you to give your top line service to God in the way you serve Him. One verse. Service. Not just worship, but service. Opportunities to do good. Opportunities to be the hands of Jesus and the eyes of Jesus and the lips of Jesus and the feet of Jesus and the heart of Jesus on this earth. Romans chapter 12, by the mercies of God, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's the challenge. I failed to write down the author of this song. It's not an easy song to sing. In fact, it's one of those songs that the music doesn't really seem to fit the words. I find myself focusing on the music more than on the words. And I don't know that we ever even sing this song here, but I want to read to you the words of a song that sum up what we're trying to say. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw in your soul's flesh, fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was He, young and brave. Give Him your loyal devotion. Give Him the best that you have. And then the chorus. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth, clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth. Young people, give of the strength of your youth. You become a Christian now, and you can give 70 years of service to God. But all of us remember that strength of our youth. And this is not just a song for young people. It's a song for us who remember the strength of our youth. Look at the second verse. Give of your best to the Master. Give Him first place in your heart. Give Him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give, and to you will be given. God, His beloved Son, gave. Gratefully seeking to serve Him. Give Him the best that you have. And the chorus? Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. And finally, the last verse. Give of your best to the Master. Nothing. Naught else is worthy His love. He gave Himself for your ransom. Gave up His glory above. He laid down His life without murmur. You from sin's ruins to save. Give Him your heart's adoration. Give Him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Folks, that's not almost it. That nails it down as tightly as it can be said. Top of the line God, who never have hardly ever did anything at all, gave and gave and gave, looks at us and says, "Can you do that for me?" Not because somebody's got a club up here and trying to guilt you into serving God, but because God is so good. Don't you dare take this body and waste it in serving self and self-gratification when sin allures. Take this body. And as the world yields the members of its bodies, the parts of its body toward wickedness and ungodliness, take this body and take the members of this body and use every one of them to praise God. God help us. Have you given yourself to Him? If you'd believe in Him, you need to do more than just believe. You need to make up your mind to follow Him. Believe. You know, John 3:16 says, He so loved. You need to believe in Him. But believe in Him is not some mental process. It's something that happens inside your heart where you say, "I'm going to really serve God. I'm going to give everything I've got to God." That's repentance. And Acts 17 and verse 30 says God commands that of everybody. And then when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, that you believe He's the Son of God, you can be baptized to be saved, to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. If you haven't done that, give of your best to the Master today. Become a Christian today. And then the most amazing thing happens. From my enemy, you become my son. God no longer sees you as on the other side. He not only sees you on His side, He sees you as a son of God. Behold what love God has manifested to us, that we should be called sons of God. Don't you dare leave this building as a child of the devil. He loves you too much and has paid too great a price. He wants you to be in His family, and He wants you to serve Him faithfully until you die. How can this church help you? We can help you in any way in your relationship to God. Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?